I'm here to talk about widgets and podcasting today. First of all, let's take a quick show of hands. Who knows what a widget is? Everybody heard of them? Anybody heard of them? Has anybody used them that you know of? Has anybody embedded a widget on a web page? Have you actually? Good. Well, a couple people here. We'll start with widgets, and I'll move over into podcasting. A widget, of course, I had to use the official Wikipedia definition of this. You can't do anything these days without turning to Wikipedia for a definition. But in a short way of putting it, it's a small snippet of code or a small mini application that can be embedded on another web page. So as Scott was talking about how we're doing content syndication, our goal is to get CDC's science and content to people where they are, when they want it, and how they want it. Don't expect everyone to come to the cdc.gov website, even though that would be great, but we do want them to see our content and our health messages. So in addition to content syndication, widgets are another strategy that we're implementing to do this. According to some ComScore measures here, over 62% of the worldwide internet users have viewed a widget, and it's about 77% here in the U.S. So that's quite a large number of people out there who are viewing content through widgets. So again, let's deliver the content the way people are used to seeing or wanting to see it. Currently we have 4 widgets available. We have a couple for seasonal flu. We have a seasonal flu RSS reader and their weekly flu activity map update. We have a public health data and statistics widget and one for CDC TV that you can embed CDC TV videos on your web page. And here's a couple of screenshots of these actually released in the wild. They're out running around and people's iGoogle pages, or the Department of Health, Georgia's Department of Health has their data and statistics widget on it, and there's a Stay Fit, a television station out of Las Vegas who has our flu reader widget on it. So again, we wouldn't have thought to go out to a television station in Las Vegas and said, you know what, would you like CDC content? But they saw it, and so they knew that it would be interest to their visitors, so they can deliver this content without expecting their visitors to come to us. You can see here in this graph of the number of views that our widgets were getting, and it stayed pretty small throughout January up until about June, and that's really when it started hitting the television station, and there's a medical information site out there that started embedding our widgets on it. So you can see the traffic is beginning to jump, and everyone's traffic goes down on the weekends. You can see there all those blips. And on our data and statistics widget, we are seeing the way that widget works, it shows a graph from our data and statistics feature page, and then there's a previous and next button, so you can click through without coming to the CDC site and view several of the past features. So we can tell from the metrics on this that we're getting about a 15% interaction rate on these. So people are visiting or seeing this widget, they're beginning to interact with it. So again, we're delivering a great deal of CDC content without having users come to the CDC site. It allows users to select the content that is interesting to themselves, and it will allow our public health partners to select and serve content of interest to their audiences. Widgets also help decentralize channels and message dissemination, but yet it allows us to maintain the control of our message to make sure that our content is updated and relevant without worrying about users not having copied and pasted the recent version or the recent findings. And it also helps greatly to extend the marketing of your website, because every one of our widgets, while delivering content, allow for easy ways to come back to cdc.gov for more information. So we're finding that this is a particularly useful and growing channel for not only getting our messages out there, but also for directing more traffic back into the CDC site. Podcasting. This is an area that we've got a little bit more history on. We've been podcasting since July 30th of 2006, and people here know what podcasts are. Do everybody need to jump up and get their blood flowing again? No? Okay. I'll just assume that people know what a podcast, what podcasts are. We began podcasting in July of 2006, and we started with one series, which was called CDC Featured Podcast. We had 10 episodes in that. What we took was previously recorded video and cut it down for resampled it for web, for use on the web, and cut the episodes into shorter chunks so it keeps file size down. So we started with 10 episodes. Six were the History of Bioterrorism series. Two were Stress in the Workplace, and two were Workplace Violence. All 10 were released in audio, video, and transcript PDFs. So you had three subscription options. You could subscribe to the video versions, you could subscribe to the audio versions, and you can actually subscribe to just the PDF transcripts. Since that time, we now have about 17 current series, including a Spanish series and six that have video options. We have over 500 separate episodes that have been published, with over 100 video podcasts, and all series have audio and transcripts available. So quite a bit of content out there. Numbers. Since we started in July 2006, we've had over 1.2 million downloads of our audio, video, and PDF files. We're currently averaging over 4,200 downloads a day. And we also know that there's a great viral multiplier to these files, that people are taking them and forwarding them on to friends and family, using them in classrooms, using them for patient education. So we get a lot of, we know that we have a great deal of our audience are either nurse practitioners or health educators. So that 1.2 million number is reaching a quite a larger audience than that. Our weekly podcast downloads is a nice little graph with a couple of interesting little huge bleeps there. But it's our downloads have continued to grow since we launched in July, and which is a good thing, I guess. Our initial goal was to just to prove the viability of the channel. So we have tested podcasting with about every type of content we could sort of think of and come up with. We've done evergreen material such as the History of Bioterrorism or the workplace videos. We've done in the news types of topics such as MRSA or XDR-TB. We did an outbreak investigation series on the E. coli and spinach outbreak about a year and a half ago. We've done hybrid series, which are doing a little of both, like the hurricane preparedness. So these are evergreen type of preparedness material that keeps getting resurfaced every time a new hurricane comes about. A lot of disease and condition-specific series, such as diabetes or birth defects, topic series, Traveler's Health, Summertime Health and Safety. A closed series or a mini-series, such as the Future of Health Technology Summit, which was six or seven episodes and nothing else to be added to those. And then we have publication series or podcast series around some of CDC's print publications, such as the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report or Emerging Infectious Disease Journals. So we've done quite a bit, and we've learned quite a bit. And rather than going through all these points, just want to say that we have just recently published a best practices document on our website. If you go to cdc.gov/podcast, you'll see a link in the right-hand side for best practices. But rather than taking a lot of time on that. I'll let you download that and look at that later. Let's go on to where we want to go from here. We're currently producing a podcast strategy document. And so that is taking let's get out of this reactive mode of what sort of content can we find and throw it and put it out there in podcasts. Let's look at what works best and get a little bit more strategic. And what can we go? Where can we take this channel, this medium, even further? And this leads us to more audience-centered way of organizing our content. We're going to focus on four P's. We're going to change presentation, build participation, build partnerships, and add personalization to our podcast. And I'll talk about each of these here quickly. But actually, I cut all those slides out of there, so I won't talk about them. I'll go back to that. Presentation. We plan on releasing a widget for our podcast. So then to have a widget so other people can embed a podcast player on their web page. That way we can stream or push CDC podcasts out to other locations. Participation. That means building a lot more into our podcast series, getting the audience feedback. Email is your question. Or if we had a telephone line, you know, the problem with trying to do a telephone line, something like a call-in show, is the asynchronous nature of podcasts. But build in this audience participation, this feedback. You know, incorporate people's questions into the series. Partnerships. Get internal partnerships working better inside of CDC to focus on an audience-centered type of situation. Rather than the diabetes group having a podcast on childhood diabetes, and then the injury center having a podcast or two about sports safety for youth. You think the audience thinks about, well, I'm a parent and I want the information that's relevant for my children, rather than to go to all the organizational structure. Let's focus collect the content around what the audience is expecting. And then personalization, which is really what I'm here to talk about. A couple of ways we're going to do this is to allow users to subscribe by topic rather than series. Right now, a podcast series, you sign up for a series, whether it's the MMWR series or CDC featured podcast, and you get all the podcasts in that series that we at CDC have determined to put into that series. However, you may be interested in a topic, say HIV or flu, and you don't care what series the podcast would happen to be in. So we'll allow you to subscribe by series, or by topic rather. Allow users to have subscriptions to automatically include additional material, such as transcripts, FAQs, other training materials, PDFs. Deliver podcasts to the appropriate audience, and by audience type, such as clinicians or public health professionals, general public. There's a little bit of confusion at times on what audience some of our podcasts are aimed towards. Deliver podcasts at the appropriate time. These will be time-based variable delivery subscriptions. And I'll talk about this a little bit more here in a moment. Such as your week, your pregnancy by week. And then deliver podcasts to the appropriate audience at the appropriate time. These are geo-targeted, such as hurricane warnings to subscribers in a certain zip code or a certain state. How am I doing at time? Okay. Podcasts, how do they work? Podcasts actually have two basic parts. There's an RSS feed, which is an XML document, and then the actual file, the audio file or a video file, or it's an attachment. It doesn't necessarily have to be an audio or video file. It just can be pointing to any sort of file. And then more fundamentally, we're talking about a channel, which is a group, what I'm going to call a group of files or group of content. The time, which is when the content is actually syndicated. So normally that an RSS feed, everybody subscribes to it. When another item is added to that feed, everybody gets this new update all at the same time. And then content is the actual files that are sent. Normal podcast syndication. You have the audience and you have a timeline. So everybody subscribes to the series, and when publication A is released in the podcast, everybody gets it. Then series B, publication C, so on. Everyone gets the same files at the same time. But more to personalize this, you can allow users to select which types of files that they would want to receive. So example here is subscriber one says, well, in addition to the audio file, I may want some PDFs and some patient handouts and PDFs that we can put up in our PowerPoints or something that we can put up in a clinic. But subscriber two may only want the audio file and a video file, and subscriber three may only want a PDF. So allow users to select which of the additional content that we have available, and it can all be served through the same RSS mechanism. So just again, some examples of the types of content and types of grouping of content that users could select. Personalization by time. A normal syndication, as I said a moment ago, a normal syndication timeline is that everyone receives the same files at the same time. When another publication is made available, the entire audience gets it, so on, all the way through to the end. When CNN comes out with a new podcast, everybody who subscribes to it gets it at the same time. But to break this up, another way would be to have all the publications already available, and then ask the audience where they fall on a particular sort of timeline, and then deliver the content to them at regular intervals. And again, an easy one to put your mind around is your pregnancy by week. So we would prepare, say, 40 podcasts already, you know, for each week of pregnancy. And when you come in to subscribe, it simply asks you, what week of pregnancy are you in? So here, listener one may say, in the 12th week. So it generates the RSS feed, which gives them podcasts 1 through 12. Then every week, they get another one. It knows when that subscriber comes in, it knows there's a week interval between files, and delivers the next one. But listener two may be way down in week 23, listener three in week one, and so on. So every subscriber, it would know not only what week they're in, but what time of the week, so that all these subscriptions can be delivered more personalized. It's delivering the content when the users need it. There's a number of scenarios that we've thought about. As I said, the pregnancy one, or a heart bypass surgery recovery, or immunization schedules, childhood development milestones, diabetes management, etc. So again, any sort of health condition that would fit a sort of known or given timeline can be used for this model. Personalized by content. This would be a little bit more tailored to some health behavior or health communication models. For example, smoking cessation. Have you tried to smoke? Have you tried to stop smoking before? Yes or no? If no, have you thought about it? You can find out where the user is or the subscriber is on the behavior change model, and then start delivering content to them relevant to their particular stage, but also get feedback. Partially way through, you could ask, did you slip up and have a cigarette this week? And if yes, then we can deliver additional content. So, well, maybe you need support or some sort of additional information. And again, this can be expanded out for multiple users, multiple different branches in terms of logic and additional content that can be delivered. And every listener being delivered new content, relevant content on their individual timelines and for their individual needs. Again, pregnancy example, back to that, is at week 18, was your ultrasound normal? You know, were you diagnosed with preeclampsia or hypertension, et cetera? So you can ask questions, again, and this can be done without knowing personal information. I mean, just generic sort of, you know, yes or no to these types of questions. And again, we believe that it will have a very strong impact in some of the behavior change models for like smoking cessation or weight loss or physical therapy, those types of scenarios. And so this is the direction we're taking with personalization for podcasts. You can, again, mention location for, you know, just when you subscribe to, I want hurricane updates. For example, well, you know, you need different information if you're in Miami than you do if you're in South Texas and a hurricane's coming through. Works for emergency response, environmental situations, or even again back. You can see I've thought a lot about the pregnancy example. The pregnancy example would be tied in if there was, say, an outbreak of listeria or something that would be particularly impact. Pregnant women. I guess I can say women instead of people, huh? So CDC should be or must be where the people are, and that's what we're trying to do, what we're working on to do to deliver CDC's content where people are, and to increase our dissemination and impact of our science, and to leverage the unique characteristics of the channels. Reach diverse audiences and empower people to make healthier and safer decisions. So, thank you.